Right, this regular city council meeting for Tuesday, July 28th, 2015 will now come to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Best?
Here.
Councilmember DeVries?
Councilmembers Irby and Combs are ill and will not be here this evening and asked to be excused.
Is there any objection to excusing Councilmembers Irby and Combs? Seeing and hearing none, Councilmembers Irby and Combs are excused. Councilmember DeVries, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item is the approval of the agenda, which includes the approval of the consent agenda and minutes of the previous meetings, July 7, 2015, special meeting, July 14th, 2015, special meeting, July 14th, 2015, regular meeting. And the approval of the consent agenda, which includes introduction of ordinance number 15-021, enacting Colorado Municipal Code section 17.60.057, amnesty for setback encroachments, as noted in IM 15-039. Action memorandum 15-069, confirm the mayor's appointment of Dusty Silva to the Board of Economic Development. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda and minutes in consent agenda?
So moved.
Made and seconded. Madam Clerk, would you please?
Oh, Madam Mayor.
Oh, excuse me, Councilmember Best.
That's quite all right. I just have one amendment to the agenda. I don't believe we need under unfinished business number two because we had our previous meeting.
City manager recruitment process. Well, we did discuss, because we didn't make a motion as far as whether we wanted to extend the.
So there's further business?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up that one thing about extending the. Yeah, the recruitment window for discussion.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilman Best. All right, so anything else? Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And
she is not going to be here this evening. She is ill.
Okay, we do have the director of the Palmer Museum listed, but apparently she is also ill tonight and will not be here for her communication appearance request. So we'll move on to the city manager's report. Mr. Manager.
Mayor and council, in your packet is the last 2 weeks of information of the things that have been going on. Big one, obviously, was a sister city visit. A couple of things to highlight on there for some upcoming meetings, and particularly your next meeting, has to do with the medical facilities in Palmer and also a potential redevelopment or transfer of the senior center and the Salvation Army next door. So spoke with the developers that are involved in that, Salvation Army. Both of them are planning on being here for the council meeting for you to discuss. The Matsu Senior Board still has to meet between now and your meeting to decide how they make a play into that one. Also, today we finished the application to Wells Fargo Foundation. This is for $80,000 to be the rest of the match. Remember that we received from the federal government $80,000 for the copper route, and then it said that we would try to make up the difference of the other 80. So Wells Fargo has said they're very interested, so we went through a big process with them. It will be their decision making process on August 15th. So at your second meeting in August, I'll have a request and a recommendation. We'll have indication from them about how serious they are to funding it, but then you'll have a decision point about how you go forward with that. And then we also submitted a letter of intent today to the Matsu Trails Foundation, not quite as much, but for $10,000. And they have a fairly quick turnaround because, which could be the, I think it's August 15th, is their deadline. Within 2 weeks of that, they will decide. And then from that will also be encouragement for us to go forward to a statewide trails foundation. So whether it's for that project or something else that the city would like to do, but we're in the foundation mode. So I can answer any questions, Mayor, Council.
Councilmember Hanson.
I just have one question. Is there a chance that we can get a copy of the film?
Mike.
I got it. Is there a chance that we can get a copy of the grant compliance from the federal government?
Of course.
For that grant?
Of course. Yeah. I'll just email it to all the councils.
Yeah.
Right, we can have that in our next packet. Grant compliance information. I just had a question, if you would, on the airport leases, if you would give a status update.
See, the ones that are out, and I don't see Jeff here, but the
right there.
Oh. Mayor, would you like to come up and give us an update on each of the, there's four pending leases and then a lease policy. I can do it or you can ask him to come up.
It doesn't matter who gives a report as long as it's thorough and clear and that we're moving forward, because I know we've had this discussion, well, it seems like a lot, and during the last budget.
Okay, Mayor.
During the budget, we had the pending leases, and the goal was to get the airport paying for itself a little bit more. So I just want to hear how that's happening.
So, Mayor, if we could get Mr. Combs to come up.
Madam Mayor, council members, first of all, I'll start off with the one that's out the door first is the Delta apron that we used to have parking between Forestry and where we have Forestry, where we have Mr. Helmerich's and all his properties there. That old apron is being repurposed under the ALP and the master plan process to 2 acres of lease land, and there's a lease application in, and a not just an application, but they're forming an LLC, and that one's moving forward pretty quick. The only thing we had to do with that one is we had to conserve a taxi lane for the businesses, Fish Creek and Custom, BJ Customs and so forth, to allow them to have access. But the tenant, these are Doug Glenn, is proposing putting a hangar in there and operating Sherpas for cargo, is what I understand at this point. There's that one, and then of course there's the Alaska Skydivers, which are still very active. I just had a meeting with them. They had a great year this year so far, almost triple what they did last year. They are still working out of kind of a temporary, but much better temporary location. I went and toured it, and it's got a reception area and stuff. They're working with Mr. Helmerich's on that, and they are still pursuing the, and they still want the 2 acres that's in between Cruise and Palmer Hangars. And again, we sliced out an access road out of that 2 acres, so just met with them, like I said, and that's moving forward.
Well, how is it moving forward?
It's moving forward because we had we were waiting for a as-built from the Cruise construction to be able to get the meets and bounds completed for this lot, because they're right next to the Cruise property went over into the next lease lot, if you want. And to be able to get a correct meets and bounds for their square footage and everything, we had to wait for that as built. And there was a lot of back and forth with Cruz and her surveyors, and we did get that. I don't know the exact date. I think Sandra knows that. She sent it over to me. And so Just waiting for the HCL is doing a meets and bounds for them on that.
So what's happening with the skydivers? I mean, I've heard they're frustrated and about ready to pull up stakes at Palmer Airport.
Well,
and because they can't release.
Well, during my last meeting with them, their major concern is not on until the next agenda on the 11th. But their major concern is this utility assessment going in, and that bothers them extremely. They kind of just right now are meeting their bottom line, and as an upstart business, they are fearful of that, and they also tried to get fearful of that happening, plus the insurance requirement, which I've already gone round and round, and they've secured insurance through USPA, United States Parachute Association, so they are fine with that. But then it seems like they told me, well, we're just adding one more thing to them, another thing, and there's this utility assessment, which I was told them from day one there was an issue that we were resolving at the city on utilities to your proposal slot. And what is going to come out, I shared with them. I mean, I said, this is pending council approval, but I shared with them what it would be, and that's what's coming back on you, I believe, Mayor.
Is this on our website? All these, I mean, so it's not just adding things or possible things? I mean, is most of this information out there? Because I know we talked about before making sure that the lease applications, mm-hmm. that people, bringing forward the idea that maybe people should pay when they make the lease application to make sure that they're serious and make us sure that we're serious, that we're providing that information. I don't know if we've made any progress on that or if we have our information on the website so they can follow up on these different things.
Well, the big thing that has struck them, again, is this possible utility assessment. So that is not on the website. Of course, yet it hasn't been. There's been no council action on it yet. So that's the one thing that kind of drove them. That's probably what you're getting feedback from. So no, that's not on the website. But in negotiation with anybody that goes in those areas, which also affects the next one I'm going to bring, is the next one is Kingdom Air Corps. They're looking at three lots, tying them together, and basically they've got a DC-3 that's out there already, and they are just looking for some more locations. So Kingdom Air Corps, moving forward on that one. And
what about the guys on the South Ramp, Alaska Air Fuel?
Fuel haulers are mulling. I guess mulling over is a poor choice of words. But the proposed lease reduction rate that during my negotiations that I gave them for the unimproved lot that they want to go into, that we've worked closely with the AAC on trying to determine how we give them. One of their major concerns through the whole thing has been how we recoup their extra cost of a very unimproved site. So to get it up to the level of, like, and I always use crews because that was just dirt buildable. You got to dig down, kind of the standard. So the amount that I gave them, they went back and waiting to hear back if they're going to accept that. There's more that they want that necessarily I don't think we can provide. I don't think it's in the best interest of the city. But I think this lease reduction rate is one of the best ways to recoup for them over a term to recoup their investment.
So they just pay for a tie down fee.
Right now they pay for, and we did increase the large tie down fees this last year, and so they are working off tie downs. Which my intent is to get these startup businesses that are on these tie downs off of tie downs and onto lease lots. It's not a good way to operate on these tie downs as a business. It's just there's too much risk that incurs with it. So the more I can get the locations, the better.
Councilor.
And that's all for.
Your Honor, first of all, I think that at some very near future, we need to have a presentation from the airport for the council as a part of the groups that normally present, and that would be beneficial for us all. But I do have a couple questions, and the first one is, and I don't know who I'm asking, okay? But we have kind of standard lease fees at present, okay? And I think they're 4.5, 5.5, 5.9 cents a square foot. Who has the authority, and where do we derive the authority to reduce those rates without a fee schedule that's published from the city? We haven't adopted different lease rates that I know of. That's one issue that I have. Another issue is, you know, you're talking about these leases, and ultimately the city council approves the leases, okay? And me, for one, I don't really want to just rubber stamp leases and say, yep, the leases, you know, you've gone through the process. We need to have an upfront briefing, an understanding of what is going to go into this lease, acreage, use, economic impact. Those need to be considered upfront. You know, for instance, to me, you know, we have a finite. It seems we have a finite amount of airport leasable land out there, and no disrespect to the skydivers, but I mean, we're potentially giving them 2 acres of property. That seems very excessive to me. When right now they're operating out of a lobby, I suspect they have an airplane that they fly around and they drop. 2 acres is a lot of land. That takes up almost that all of 9 north to the 9. Could you mute him,
Richard? Can you maybe hit your mute button?
Pardon?
Could you hit your mute button? We're kind of getting a little bit of crosstalk there, or I mean, we're kind of picking up some noise on your end.
Sorry.
Thank you.
So the compatibility issue, you know, the desire of a leaseholder, not everybody is a good fit for the airport, right? I mean, and at 6 cents a square foot, you know, an acre of land's what, $2,400 a year to lease? That's pretty dang reasonable. And, you know, if there aren't major improvements going into that piece of property, we're not deriving any value whatsoever. So $2,400 a year for an acre of land, that is dang cheap. And so those are things that, to me, you know, I don't feel like I want to rubber stamp a lease when it comes to me. And if we haven't vetted it, we haven't talked about it, and you spent 6, 8, 10 months negotiating it, I think we're kind of put in a position where, you know, we have to rubber stamp it. And I don't think that's fair to us. I don't intend to do this little job that way. And then I just don't know where we have the authority to reduce lease rates in code. Maybe the attorney could address that. And then whatever my other one was.
Let's start with the attorney and then we'll go to the manager. I mean, do we have the authority in code to do that?
Well, that was a good question, and I think that needs to be examined. I thought there was a fee schedule for the lease rates. I could stand corrected on that. But I thought, too, that some years back, there was, and some of you that have been here for that period might remember this, there was a consideration by the council to raise the lease rates to 10 or 11 cents, 12 cents a square foot. And that didn't go over very well. It didn't help to lease lots. And I thought the rate came back down to 5 or 6 cents a square foot. And I thought there was a resolution for that. I'd have to research the records, though, to ensure that was the case. But it seems to me that there needs to be a uniform rate for leases out at the airport that's established by the city. And I think the city has done that.
Mayor and Council, yes, the council did talk very extensively about lease weight and dropped it from 10. That's one of the reasons why the airport does not make enough money to fund all of its own. That's just one reason with it. You have several council meetings coming up right now, with the exception of the senior center on the 11th and the manager interviews on the 18th. You could have a joint council airport commission meeting, and they can go over some of the things that you're talking about. One of them that the airport advisory committee has been working on is the standard lease policy, and part of that is about lease rates and about what's competitive. You approve all of the leases that have come in. Some that you most recently did, if you remember, the cruise one was below the 6 cents. You're going to see a recommendation shortly that, based on the appraisal of the nutrition center and on the water wells, to raise your rate a minimum from 6 cents to 7 cents a foot. That's still not going to be a lot of money, but it's working closer to what the assessed value is per acre out at the airport. So I think I don't know that you want to get into each, as long as it fits within the comprehensive plan. I think your airport advisory commission should be looking at things that I don't think you want to micromanage, to say something that's an aviation related business should or should not go out there. For example, with the with the parachute, the skydivers group, you might, what's very common is you set aside areas in the master plan on the area and say, this is reserved for large aircraft, or this is because you want to bring in a fixed base operator or something like that. But as long as it's an aviation related use and you have people that want to do it, I think you leave that, or my recommendation is leave that to your advisory committee and to the airport manager. But we can ask the airport commission either the 25th, the 8th of September, or the 22nd, before you get into budget session, to go through each of those issues, including the standard lease policy that they're working on.
Question to airport superintendent, if I may.
Yes.
Jeff, I don't know. I haven't dealt with the fuel haulers issue in quite a long time, but what's the lease rate that's being proposed for that that lessee?
5 cents an acre, or 5 cents a square foot, so a penny below fair market value, I guess you could say.
Yeah. A couple of things that I think, from a legal perspective, I think the leases at the airport are important and need to have appropriate protections in them for the city, whatever that may entail, insurance requirements, those sorts of things. Secondly, I do think, to supplement the manager's comments, I think the leases and reviewing them by council is exactly what you're supposed to do, and they're supposed to come to you guys for approval, and they do. And that's your time to look at this and say, is this a good idea? Do we have other comments for the management to address with respect to those leases? So I think that it's important to look at those leases. And the Airport Advisory Commission is an advisory commission. You're the ones that make the policy with respect to what goes into those leases or not.
Councilmember Hansen.
Yeah, and to further what you're saying, though, I want to look, if it's our responsibility to look at the leases, I want to look at the releases, or leases, and I want to approve the leases. But I don't want to just rubber stamp them, okay? And I think it's a poor form of government that if we go through this 10-month negotiation of a lease, and then it comes to us and we have changes, that just makes us all look like incompetent, inefficient, and the rest of those words. So that all that needs to happen up front. We need to have a discussion about potential leaseholders and their impact on the, and I don't want to micromanage it. I really don't. But ultimately, we're going to have to approve it or disapprove it, the lease. And so we have to do some due diligence in trying to, make it, whether it's right or wrong for that airport. And to me, that's our responsibility. And I think we need to figure out a system where we develop those leases through the collaborative process. And then you're on your own, until you come back and we have to sign it. So That's my comment.
Well, I have a concern that what we're being told at council is not what exactly is happening, because I don't think that things are happening on leases. I supported having a full-time airport manager because I wanted to see the leases get done. I wanted to see the application process changed. I wanted to see applications come to the council that we had some kind of sense of what was going on. So we had commitments from people with some as-builts and so on that would say that we need to, that could come to the council and talk to us. And I mean, we're now into almost August, and I've not seen anything come forward. I've not seen a lease, and it's every day that we don't sign a lease, we don't have that much money in the airport fund. And I just, I'm disturbed about it because I'm not feeling like, I mean, I'm seeing the finger pointing go around the table, and particularly the attorney and the this and the that. But what it does is people out in the community and people that are trying to get leases are not, it's just making them more and more frustrated. So yes, I would like, and I know that the airport board has weighed in on this, and they've tried to get things done and passed, and it's not coming to us. We're not seeing things come to the council except for discussion about how great it is and how many people are out there wanting to lease the land. Well, let's get with it and get some land leased.
Yeah. Councilor DeVries.
I agree with what has been said regarding, I think we need to be, as a body, the council, in on much, you know, at the beginning process. And I don't know, maybe like when somebody would make an application and you get their application, maybe it would come to the council at that time, and the council will set parameters. Okay, this is somebody we're going to reduce it for, or we're not going to reduce it, or we're going to give them 30 days or 60 days to fulfill this application. And if it's not fulfilled by that time, we're going to open it up for somebody else's application. And so those are some of my thoughts.
I would like to have that discussion, but I guess I am, and we can put it on the agenda again, but I'd like to hear the action plan for what we're going to do and how we can get good information to the council. So,
Mayor.
Mr. Hanna.
Mayor and Council, since the airport superintendent's been on, just a reminder, we've had crews, and that was negotiated, that was built, that was a major development out there that occurred since we've come in. So that was a piece of land, getting the meets and bounds on that, getting this construction done, getting the utilities in, and that has been completed. A three-year lease that was hanging out there from Woods, that was finished and resolved. The issue of the airport utilities, which has been on the books since 2005, is now finally coming to the council to figure out what the council would like to assess those utilities for about a dozen lots, including three of the people that we're talking here, that it was never done back in 2005 to say how that $200,000 debt to the Water and Sewer Fund is done. That's being completed. It is on your agenda for August. I'm looking up there, the second meeting, I think it's on the 25th is when, and then you will decide what, how that's assessed. Well, you need to do that in order for us to have a rate. The issue over, which is a real one that the Airport Advisory Commission is dealing with, and you'll have to, has to do with, you're talking about lease rates of how they might change between them, and specifically with the fuel haulers, is that we have two types of property out there. One is those that have been improved and they either have ramp or utilities already to them, and other ones that need to be developed. That's the case of the fuel haulers, and that's the logic for coming up with some lower rate, but it would have to come back from the council. I think if you set a meeting, the 25th or September 8th, with the Airport Advisory Commission, you can go through each one of these items, including a different way that you might like to see proposals come to you. And you set that as a council.
All right, thank you. We do have the chair of the Airport Advisory Board here. I'd like to ask Mr. Lee to come forward and give perspective from the Airport Board. What and when and how we should proceed to get the information to the council that we need from on the airport.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Council. To start with, the airport board has no purview over the specific leases. We've never been asked to, nor should we be tasked to, try to negotiate these leases. What the airport board has worked on is the blanket lease or the template that's on the website. And since we've been looking at that, it's been revised twice. And what the board is trying to do, not very successfully, is trying to soften that lease. It has a lot of fairly harsh language in it. Just as an example, you know, there's things where bad things happen to the lessee if he doesn't respond within 10 days and things like that, which is not very much time. I think that we haven't had good success because we've had a lot of meeting cancellations, unfortunately. We've had a couple of advertising failures where we've missed meetings. We've had a wheel fell off an airplane and interrupted a meeting. We had some insurance people that we didn't expect that pretty much took up one meeting. We told you on January 20th that we were going to address this, and we haven't had much time that's been effective to actually do it. But we don't believe that the airport board is either qualified or should be involved in any kind of price determinations. That's a combination of appraisal and market considerations that's actually beyond our purview. So with respect to the leases, we certainly recognize the urgency of trying to get money flowing into the city's coffers, but we haven't had anything to do with that except where prospective lessees have come to me and shown me their marked up lease, which in some cases has been, in the case of Bart Tiernan, who's no longer a lease applicant, was a pretty complicated change. It's pretty difficult to renegotiate these leases every time there's a new lessee, it seems to me. But again, we're not involved in that. And so that's the top level essence of it. I think that, you know, the administration is doing one thing and the airport board is maybe doing another in some cases, because, you know, we're trying to look over the overall governing policy that's promulgated by the lease. And the administration is trying to negotiate specific leases at the same time. So with that, if you'd like me to elaborate on any particular subtopic within that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
I just want to get information, good information to the council on the airport leases, and I want to see some leases before us, even if they're not perfectly and well done. At least we can have someone and we can start working on them at a council level. Maybe we can have some way of, you know, at least we can hear from the people directly, because all I know that I feel like I'm hearing from people in the community. I hear what administration says, but I don't have anything in black and white that you can really judge that from. So anyway, we need to move on with the meeting, but I appreciate that.
One comment, Your Honor, and that is that, you know, examination of the audit showed the airport to be the worst of the enterprise funds in terms of cost performance or recovery of cost performance. And it certainly is an issue with the airport board, but I think it's beyond our purview to get into these leases and into these prices, and we have not done that. So, thank you.
I'd like to make one note. It may be the biggest loser financially on our books, the city of Palmer, but I think it provides the highest and best economic stimulus within the community of all our enterprises funds.
I would agree with that, but we can't not note that it's not paying for itself too. It's hard to get to that. It's hard to do that with any kind of a transportation utility. Subways typically are over budget all the time. That's kind of normal, but this is kind of outside the bounds, I think, of what you would consider normal. We could be making a little bit more money than we are, quite a bit.
All right, thank you,
Your Honor.
City Clerk's report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I sent everyone an email regarding the joint Tri-Cities Borough meeting on Thursday, November 5th, that the City of Wasilla has requested. Just a reminder that we need a quorum from each body to hold the meeting. And I have heard back from several of you that you are available. At this point, I'm going to, unless there's objection, let the city of Wasilla know that Palmer will be there, and we've got some few months to work everything out. Under the city manager discussion, I thought under unfinished business that we could talk about additional meetings that we tentatively have scheduled that we will probably need to reschedule, and that might fit with the requested joint meeting with the Airport Advisory Commission. The nominating period for the upcoming election is open at this time and closes on Friday the 31st at 4 p.m. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor?
Councilmember Best, yes.
Do we know how many packets have been picked up?
There's been one downloaded from online. There was one picked up from a gentleman who called later that day stating that he was not a city resident or a registered voter, so he you know, declined. And then there are four, so then there are three others that were picked up in person. So four to
Good.
All right, thank you. Mayor's report. I just wanted to let everyone know that the governor will be in Wasilla on Friday. He will be speaking to a variety of stakeholders about the Alaska's budget and the sustainability of Alaska's budget. It's open to the public. I believe it's at the Menard Center on Friday, and we're all interested in the budget. So I'll be attending that, and then he'll be at Friday Fling and in Palmer on Friday following that. So I believe it's at noon, but it may be earlier. It's at 10. Okay, it's at 10 o'clock on Friday. We need to, I don't know if we can send John flowers or what we should do, but I'd like to... Yes, John Combs. Something from the council to both Councilmember Combs and John. Okay, Mayor's report. Moving on to City Attorney's report.
Madam Mayor, Council, thank you. As a follow-up to the manager's comment on the proposed medical center, senior center issues. Representatives of JL Properties called and wanted to talk to me about sort of the background of the senior center and issues leading up to it. And I did speak with them about that. And I told them the same thing that they were told when the manager, mayor, and I met, and that is put your proposal together and bring it forward to the council, and the council will make a decision on how that works. So I wanted to tell everyone that they had called and talked to me about that. Other than that, nothing at this time. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Next is audience participation. Time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council for up to 5 minutes. If you're representing a group, 3 minutes if you're representing yourself. Audience participation is now open. And we have one person come forward. Please state your name for the record, sign in, and turn on the microphone. Thank you.
You got it fixed. Thank you. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process pertaining to state laws of the Open Meetings Act and also state laws providing a reasonable opportunity to be heard at all public meetings. The public process is done appropriately. Decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. A few weeks ago, you received copies of an email reference to the Borough Marijuana Advisory Board. And part of my comments right now is in reference to not that email, but on a further update on something else that I didn't mention in there. On July 1st, the state released a press release setting up a marijuana control board for the state of Alaska. That was July 1st. July 2nd, they met. The notice of the meeting was about 3 or 4 days before the 1st, July 4th, July fourth weekend. They literally sent a notice of a meeting before they even had the announcement of the board members. Quite inappropriate. They did over July 4th weekend. I did have words with the representative of the state for boards and commissions about this kind of notification. And their premise to me was basically this. They're under the gun, basically, that a time frame of getting everything done by November, we need to get those regulations out and get them reviewed. And I said these words to her, this is not an emergency that has this kind of time frame. And therefore, this was totally inappropriate, didn't engage the public the right way. But that's what the state's doing. Now, on the Anchorage side, recently I attended a marijuana advisory meeting of the assembly that deals with the subject committee. And I've, as you know, I attend a lot of meetings, quite a few. And assemblies always know it. They have a public safety assembly committee meeting, assembly transportation, and so forth, whatever. But I saw something new, and this what they did is they added another name that wasn't an assembly member. And he was basically from the state board, marijuana control board. When you call a body assembly committee on public safety, assembly committee on this, they should all be members of the assembly. And this was not what was done there. And a key member of the board is on that body. And that's not appropriate at all. It doesn't reflect the body's. And I should also note, you are, again, I've said before, that you're much more in compliance with the laws, thank God, nothing like Anchorage. And you wouldn't know what the agenda is of what's going on in these meetings. You're generally the last minute, if you're lucky to get the agenda and the materials at the meetings, you see it there. Thank you very much.
Well done. Anyone else who would like to come forward to address the council? Seeing no one additional come forward, audience participation is now closed. It brings us to the public hearing for resolution number 15-001D, amending the City of Palmer 2015 fee schedule by repealing the fee for massage therapist licensing, enacting an administrative fee for credit card transactions over $5,000, amending MTA event center fees, enacting unmetered wastewater service rates, including summer sewer rates as enacted by resolution number 5-012, and amending solid waste collection fees as noted in item 15-003. This is public hearing number one of two. That public hearing is now open. Anyone wishing to speak to resolution number 15-001D, please come forward at this time. Seeing no one come forward, public hearing is now closed. And this is the first public hearing, number one of two, and we may make a motion at this time or request a staff report. Anyone like to continue on this or make a motion, or we can have the second public hearing? Seeing no one.
I just have one question.
Oh, certainly.
Why are there different rates for the water usage or a different proposal between commercial and residential? The summer sewer rates, residential has one and commercial has another. Why aren't they just the same? Sorry, 59. And I don't need it answered right now. I just want somebody to answer that to me someday, probably two Tuesdays from today.
Mayor, we can come back. We'll go back to the original 2005 language of when it was adopted and get into that. Yeah. So that's where the rationale was presented. And we'll bring it back.
Are you talking about what's in the box here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It talks about the...
Well, we have summer rates.
Yeah.
I want to know why we have different policy for
residential versus commercial, when in the past we only had one policy for residential, or one policy that covered both, correct?
This has been in place since then. Back since 2005.
Right.
So before 2005 is what you're asking.
No. Okay. I'm asking why this change.
This is what's in place. This goes back to the change in 2005.
I mean, I remember the discussion in 2005, but yeah. I don't think that's what you're saying. The 2005 is, you know, we all understand that. It has to do, yeah, it has to do with why is the difference between commercial and residential and in this proposal. And my understanding is that was a Director of Public Works suggestion, and he's not here to answer the question.
Next meeting.
Madam Clerk.
It's directly out of the 2005 resolution.
So we had two methods.
In 2005.
In 2005. Okay. It's answered, right? Wait for two reasons.
All right, so we will have a second public hearing on August 11th. We have a public hearing next for ordinance number 15-002, amending Pahlong Municipal Code to the 2.40.010 appointment 3.16.27 refund of sales tax interest 4.60.030 travel approval procedures and 5.04.180 appeals to Superior Court to amend the section to reflect Director of Finance. That hearing, public hearing, is now open. And anyone wishing to come forward to speak to 15-002 at this time? Seeing no one come forward, public hearing is now closed. Do we have a motion to adopt? Second. Discussion or request for staff report work? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for the roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeReese?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen? Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Do we have a motion to approve action memorandum 15-072, authorize city manager to negotiate and execute an amendment to the TechMate IT contract for the purchase of computer software. Motion to approve. So moved, Your Honor.
Second.
Discussion or wish to receive a staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote. Oh, go ahead, Councilmember.
I'm sorry. I thought he was going to point. He reached for it, so I was going to let him go first, and then you went on. This, when I look at page 89, and I read, let's see, where's everybody? I thought I made a note to myself here. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm page 91. On page 91, in the paragraph where it says general fund unassigned fund balance, it talks about deducting the one charge for City Hall of the $42,000, but it doesn't talk about the $42,000 charge. I think the PD, is that police department? So is there... The police department doesn't come out of the general fund unassigned fund balance. Do they have the money in there? They have their money in already budgeted? Okay, so then on page 89, where it says that these two are not budgeted, then one is budgeted and one is not. So if I can have some clarification, thank you.
Mr. Manager.
I can answer the question, but... And one of the funds is the drug, it's the drug fund. And so it's not like there was an item budgeted for there, but there's funds in there. As opposed to the IT, there's no money in an IT account to there, so you're going to the general fund unassigned balance for if you choose to do that.
Okay. All right, good, thank you.
Councilmember Hanson.
I'd like to hear from the computer people on the council, myself, on this whole thing.
Madam Mayor.
Councilman Jackson.
Well, I've known for some years that the city's IT, should we say, net worthiness is severely lacking. So I suspect this is a really good step, as long as our IT people are comfortable that they can handle all this, you know, as far as installing and maintenance.
My only question earlier to the manager was, you know, we basically have our IP technical support people selling us their hardware equipment. And I want to make sure that we have done an evaluation on their equipment and their support, because, you know, it's like the engineer that says you need to put in a new wastewater treatment, and, oh, by the way, I'm your engineer. So I want to make sure that there's some type of evaluation of, you know what I mean.
Mr. Manager.
Mayor and Council, we have done that. And like I think I mentioned to Councilmember Hansen before this, the Nimble is not something that TechMate produces and then sells in the industry, and they have lots of clients. They do use those, and this is an industry standard. Are there other companies that make similar but not identical? Sure. And we can, both the IT committee is here, our chair from that is, and one of the people from TechMate who does this also for a living can answer it. The write-up here that describes the situation that the city has of going virtual or having software with a number of different devices, and that's what the map is designed to try to display. We are making a change here. We're making a change of saying that there's a more efficient way of moving from basically hard boxes to a virtual system that's more effective. It costs more up front, but then the purpose of that chart is there to show that over time, and it's not that many years, that we save money. But it is, all of this is very expensive with this kind of hardware, and later on when you see the CAD software that's going to come before us. But Mayor, the chair of the IT committee is here, and I think Gina could answer any other specific questions of it. TechMate makes a recommendation to us, but they don't make money off of selling Nimble.
If Councilmember Hansen, would you like to have more update?
Okay.
Councilmember Carrington.
I guess I'm just wondering, so has the committee kind of come up with kind of the idea of the specs on this, or?
Mayor, Council. Yes, that's why the recommendation is in here of going with Nimble. And this hasn't been something that's just in the last, you know, 3-4 months. It was talked about, if you remember, last time that we did budget too, but we didn't think we had enough money to be able to pull it off. So, and again, they're here, they can talk about. I think if you read the description of what's going on of our needs and of looking towards both the data that right now could be lost if we have a, you know, like if we have a major disaster, earthquake or fire here, and that needs to be addressed. And you either, one way, and it's talked about in there in some detail, of going up into the cloud.
So I'll go ahead and ask, is now the committee chair, is that?
That's Gina Davis. Sir.
I guess I'd like to have Gina come forward and just give us a overview of what brought you to bringing this to council, a thumbnail version.
Madam Mayor, council members, The IT steering committee was started back in July of 2014, and we've had meetings almost every month to discuss a roadmap for the city of Palmer for our IT needs. We're definitely behind, I guess, industry standards, if you look at the devices that we are using right now. We actually had Nimble came out and gave us a demonstration of their the Nimble storage array. It was pretty impressive. And, you know, they're one of the better ones of the industry, is the Nimble storage array. They kind of have it mastered. And with consultants, with TechMate and with Scott, our IT, and other members of the IT steering committee, this is the conclusion we came to.
Madam Mayor, Council, I have a couple of questions, not for Gina, just thoughts to throw out. One is on the order, TechMate order on page, I guess my page is, must be 92. It has a disclaimer and it says that any order greater than $2,000 must be prepaid. Is the city prepaying that order? So you guys got approval based on this. Then it talks about the equipment being returned. There's a restocking charge and things like that. And this is an invoice from TechMate. And maybe there's a question to Scott, if I may. I don't know if he wants to come up and say anything about this and see how it works, but is there an add-on cost for any of these products that TechMate purchases through Nimble?
Not right here. I mean, there might be in the future later on.
Nimble is pretty flexible hardware. I mean, one of the things we're going to do is buy a base component now, and in the future, if we need to add technology to it, we can. And we can do it on the fly without rebuilding the whole world when we do it. That was one of the reasons why I liked it. I've worked with a lot of other vendors, NetApp, EMC, there's many other players out there, but I like what Nimble had to offer, and that's one of the reasons why I was kind of driving for it.
So in your professional judgment, Nimble is a good product for the city?
I think it's a great product for the city, and I think it's going to be able to do a lot of things for the city.
And TechMate sells this equipment to the city at cost?
They're a reseller for Nimble, an authorized reseller.
So they just get it at Nimble prices through you?
Yeah, I don't know how all that works. I mean, I'm just kind of the engineer. But...
Sure. And also it says that if there's extra work, it's kind of a little more than a disclaimer. It says that the city will be billed a time and a half. Is that in accord with the current TechMate contract?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
All right, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Just as a side note, I want to say thank you to Scott, since he's here and his first time. He's, I think, been before the council since he came back. And you were sorely missed during the time that you were gone. So anyway, we appreciate having you here at the City of Palmer.
Thank
Next item is, do you have a motion to authorize action memorandum 15-073, authorize city manager to enter into a 3-year agreement to purchase insurance coverage with the city's insurance broker, Alaska USA Insurance Brokers, with a 3% discount for each year?
So moved, Your Honor.
Second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion or request for staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Mr. Gaddy.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, just a comment on the insurance. When there was a recent issue out at the golf course due to an airplane that hit a power line and sort of a proximate causation issue from a legal perspective, a pump burned out at the golf course. And as we were looking at this, one of the things that were examined was the city's insurance for underground equipment. And it turned out that there wasn't coverage for that. So I think that that was being looked into by the risk manager to check to make sure things were properly covered. But periodically, there's schedules when you apply for these insurance, there's property schedules to look at, and they need to be carefully examined to ensure that things that have fallen off the schedule are not being insured, and also things that need to be put on the schedule are being insured. So those are just a couple of comments I wanted to make with respect to insurance issues affecting the city.
Your Honor.
Thank you. I think when we had the report from George, didn't he say that they were also checking with the insurance from the airport, from the airplane? And I don't know, I don't have an update on that, but.
Madam Mayor.
Yes, Gaddy.
I think that's probably in the mix. George's insurance at the golf course covered the pump, which is good. And so I think that insurance company becomes segregated, subrogated to that claim. And so therefore they would, the insurance company would deal with the airplane operator's insurance. And Jeff's in the audience too, if you had anything to add on that.
The motion to approve. Our next item would be action memorandum 15-074, authorized city manager to purchase a Henderson scraper and related installation services from Bob Services in the amount of $17,513 using the governmental and proprietary purchasing section of the Palmer Municipal Code 3.21.230. Motion to approve. Second. Made and seconded. Request for staff report or discussion. Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Action memorandum 15-075, authorized city manager to negotiate and execute a contract with Tutka LLC for the Palmer 2015 ADA sidewalk improvement project in the amount of $62,837. No motion to approve?
So moved, Your Honor.
Second?
Second.
Discussion or request for staff report?
I just have a question about
it. Certainly, go ahead.
Are there any other, are we gonna do any other sidewalk improvements around town this summer that we know of? There's one over by the library. It's just terrible.
Mr. Hannon.
I want to say no, but I'm looking also at Greg to see if he helped me, if we've had some more discussion of one other. So, Mayor, could I ask Mr. Wickham to come up here? We have been discussing, see, what kind of funds we have left in the capital, but could I ask him to come up so I don't?
Mr. Wickham.
No, my answer
please come forward.
Council.
Press the button.
Currently, the ADA sidewalk improvement bid will obviously focus on the crosswalk over there at the library and get them across that way safely. A few other spots down the way were doing all the ADA upgrades through the whole shared project, which is all of Caribou Street from North Valley all the way through to the school. All the schools will have new ramps. Anything that we tore out will all be upgraded from Beaver to Dolphin. And that is all that I'm aware of that we're actually doing this year.
I guess my question more is, are we gonna do some maintenance? Like there's this block. Not a city block, but one block that's just terrible over by the library. Are we doing any repairs of those by our staff yet?
We certainly can if you just let me know. Which specific area? Yes.
I have a question. I don't know what kind of, when you talk about the ADA sidewalk, you talk about the curb cut, the cuts and with the different texture, right?
Correct.
So I should have asked this a long time ago, but I have one request for myself. Anybody, particularly women who wear heels in the winter or anytime, or people on crutches, you would think that the ADA sidewalk with the little knobs were just the greatest idea ever, but those things are horrible. You step on one of those little knobs and it's kind of bad, can be a very bad fall kind of problem. So what I was wondering, are we putting in those little knobby things? Could we change that?
One out of steel and one out of plastic. The steel are much worse than the plastic as far as being slick. And
not only have I almost fallen, I've had some other people tell me that they're just, but anyway, so some cities have like bricks or red brick or different colors. Is that?
That is not recognized as an ADA guide for.
So when we do an ADA sidewalk, we have to put those yellow knobby things?
Yes. The only option is color or type of metal or plastic.
Well, if you can come up with anything else eventually sometime, a different color, it would be so nice to hear about it.
Okay.
So, yes, anyway, that's...
Only options I'm aware of are color and type of material.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Madam Clerk, please call the roll for roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Action Memorandum 15-076 will authorize the mayor to execute an easement agreement with Chinook Holdings LLC for stormwater drainage improvements in Brittany Estates subdivision. Edition number one, track C-1. Do we have a motion to approve?
Second.
Made and seconded. Discussion or request for staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Action Memorandum 15-077 will authorize city manager to negotiate and execute a one-year contract amendment for dispatch services with the Matanuska Sioux Center Borough. Do we have a motion to approve?
So moved, Your Honor.
Second.
Discussion or request for staff report? Seeing and hearing none, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll for roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
We have a pending motion to adopt ordinance number 15-016, amending the Palmer Municipal Code, Chapter 17.76, variances by amending the Section 17.76.020 requirements for a variance and repealing Section 17.76.030 cases where variance is illegal. As noted in IM 15-020, this main motion was postponed to this meeting for additional information. What date was it postponed from?
May
May 12th, okay. Mr. Manager, would you give us an update? I'm thinking that this was probably Sandy Garley's.
Yes, Mayor and Council, if you could ask Ms. Garley to come up and she'll describe what's happened since the postponement.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the council. This item was postponed from your May 12th meeting in order for Mr. Gaddy and I to have an opportunity to visit a little longer about the request from the Planning Commission to simplify the variance language. The Planning Commission moved this forward. They felt that having a section where there were sort of the Palmer standards, and then you go to a whole different section of the code, a following section of the code where you have the state standards, and you have said that the state standards make the variance request illegal, was really hard when they were sitting where you are sitting now, looking at applicants to explain that there are standards and that there are standards. And they felt it would be easier for them to make findings if there were just basically a set of standards for the variances. And so they have requested this language change. At the May 12th meeting, Mr. Gaddy and I think we both struggle with the fact that we're very comfortable with the language as it is. One of the questions that I did address with Mr. Gaddy at the request of the Planning Commission is, well, because we're a home rule city, do we have to adopt the state language? And I think that the answer was not just jumping out at us, yes or no. But again, I can tell you that in 30 years of practice in planning, the state language is pretty typical from places that I have, from in the states that I have worked. And basically they indicate that, you know, you're not doing this just solely for your financial benefit. Generally, their language has been in every state code that I've worked in that that the variance isn't a result of a direct action of the applicant. So, you know, I find myself again in the quandary of, you know, I think my job is to support the request that the Planning Commission has made forward to you, try to explain what their thinking is. At the same time, I think the Planning Commission is very correct in saying that if we are not mandated to require the state language, we like the Palmer language. And the only thing that we think that is left out of the Palmer language is that in Palmer, we don't have use variances. And so that's really kind of the message that the recommendation that the Planning Commission has moved forward to you. Again, I don't want to put words in Mr. Gaddy's mouth, but I think we both that would agree that there's nothing wrong with the language as it is in code today.
Mr. Gaddy.
All right, thank you, members of the council. Ms. Carley summed it up quite well. And I'll comment on this in addition to her comments. And typically in Title 29, there's the variance language that is followed in most communities, is well recognized in land use theory and jurisprudence as the standards to apply. One of the questions that we analyzed when we were reviewing this proposed amendment was whether a home rule municipality could vary from the provisions of Title 29 on the variance requirements. And in reviewing the Title 29 provisions, there was nothing in Title 2935, which deals with, 2940, which deals with land use issues for municipalities, and some of those apply to home rule, some do not. The variance requirements in Title 29 do not apply to home rule. And we all know that home rule is a theory in Alaska where municipal powers are liberally construed, and unless prohibited, you can do basically anything that you want to do. And there's also a list in 2910-200 which has matters that are prohibited, and the variance provision in 2940 was not included in that. So it's within your authority to change the standards for variance, in my opinion. And however, I think Ms. Garley is correct as well. It's distinguishable from standard planning theory and practice and the underlying policy that variances are sparingly granted and should not be granted if they're caused by the actions of the individual seeking the variance. So with that, it's in your hands.
I would like to point out to the members of the council that I think that the planning commissions of the City of Palmer have done a really outstanding job through the years. If you look at the last, 15 years of their processing applications, they have indeed granted them very sparingly. I think we do one every 2 or 3 years that are actually approved. So they are not they're not liberal. They are very fact-based and I think very deliberative in how they consider these. So I do want to say that I do think we have a very good planning commission and they do understand the purpose of a variance.
So I'm assuming that what they're going to do is make it a little easier for somebody that's looking at code to figure out the variance. So would it make sense to have in our code is there somewhere it can say note title, is it title 29? I mean, what they're saying is they want to add the variance, the language from the state statute, right, into our...
Well, we do have, I think on page... starting on page 151, you have A, B, C, D, and E. Those are the standards that are in the Palmer section. I would consider the Palmer section of how you grant a variance, how you judge a variance. That's section 1776.020. The very next one, 030, has these three kind of state standards. And I don't know that they're, if I were writing this to clarify it, I would still take the three that are listed in 030, add them to 020, so there's just one continuous list instead of having this list where you go, if I satisfy this list of 5 or 6 things, I'm in there. Oh, no, wait a minute, there's three more over here where I'm not. And so I think that it's just, again, the Planning Commission chairman and members have sat with an applicant and tried to explain to them, you're okay here, but not okay here, instead of saying, here's one list. Here's how you do it here. Here's how we're going to judge you.
Well, the recommendation of staff is no change. Doesn't matter.
It's really a policy call.
It's just doesn't, it's not much different. It's just one,
right.
A shift, right? Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so we have a...
Madam Mayor?
Councilmember Best.
As I read through it,
yes.
030, hold on. Yeah. So 020 basically gives you the limitations, the things that you must achieve in order to have a variance granted to you. And it's kind of, in 030, it's telling you what you can't do if you were to get one. So it's actually stating the same thing, but in two different positions, one from a negative, the other one from a positive. And so my question to the attorney is, if we were to accept the new language in 020, could we then eliminate all of 030?
Mr. Gaddy.
Your Honor, I think this on page 152, where in section 4, where it says that 17-76.030 is hereby repealed in its entirety, I think is doing what Councilman Best is stating. Is that correct?
Madam Mayor.
Mr. Gaddy.
Yes. Yeah, but this section in 030 is very typical in variance jurisprudence planning theory, and that's the policy call for the council and the mayor. Do you want 030 to remain, or do you want it to go away?
Madam Mayor.
Councilor Best.
Thank you. I actually kind of agree with planning and zoning about the 020 because it sets it out as individual things that you must accomplish versus having it in one paragraph where maybe it's not so much of a checking off the box kind of thing where you might get confused in the language. So I'm actually in favor of accepting the modification of adding F and eliminating 030.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else would like to speak to that?
Thank you. Can I ask Councilman Best a question? Because what I think he's saying is what is before us, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right, Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll for a roll call vote?
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if there was something in there. Okay. All right, city manager recruitment process. There was a couple things that we needed to clarify, I think, from our previous meeting.
Under the time frame that we discussed briefly in the past and at the 5:30 meeting, it may not work. Currently, we have the interview scheduled for, or tentatively, I should say, scheduled for August 18th. With the backgrounds and so on and so forth, it doesn't look like that's going to work for that time frame. So I have reserved the depot for the meet and greet for the 1st and the 15th of September. All these dates, of course, are flexible and fluid, but I just want to tell you what's going on. And then we had tentatively a meeting scheduled for August 4th, but at this point, I don't see that we would need we have a need for that because the backgrounds won't all be back by then. They just won't. So I would propose that we not have a meeting on August 4th, no matter what, and then still kind of leave August 18th up in the air.
Okay.
Madam Mayor. Correct. Well, how much time is needed to set up for interviews, I guess? I'm just wondering.
Not a lot of time other than if it's someone from out of state bringing them here, you know, all those arrangements to get them here. Probably at least a week would be ideal.
I guess some of it's going to depend on the pre-interview or whatever we want to call that. But I mean, that still gives them, you know, it's almost 4 weeks from last Friday, so to me, it seems like it's at least potentially doable.
What we could do, Madam Mayor, what we could do is still have that date, just keep that date for now, and then perhaps on the August 11th, there is a special meeting, but maybe during the regular meeting, then discuss the results, so to speak, of the background and see which candidates the council would still like to interview, if any, or however you'd like to do it. Have that on the regular meeting agenda on August 11th and then go from there as far as interviews and additional time frame or whatever you want to do.
There's always, okay, and do we make a?
There's no motion.
There's no motion, so we'll just wait and see how things go, but the update is we may not need to have that fourth meeting on the 4th. And we may not make it to the 18th for the candidate interviews, potentially not.
Potentially.
Okay. All right, and the other thing that was discussed briefly, and I don't know if we want to follow up with this, but was whether to go to open up the candidate application, allow for additional applications on another 2 weeks, for another 2 weeks, maybe starting around the 3rd, because Alice is not here. And if we didn't make a motion to that effect, so if we want to, it's up for discussion. And we would need to have a motion to that effect. I mean, I guess I can make a motion to that effect and open it up for discussion.
Was that a motion? So you need
I'll make that motion. Okay, I make a motion to open another 2 week opening for 2 weeks on the 3rd, I guess, starting the 3rd of August. Yes.
Second, Your Honor.
Well, if we do that, then our time frame that we discussed just now is completely gone. So, I mean, we got to decide whether we're going to push this off 2 weeks, basically. That's what we're going to decide.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Carrington.
I guess I'm inclined, to me, it'd be one thing if we said, you know, it's open until filled and just kind of kept it open and let applications come in. But since we didn't do that, I guess I'm inclined to kind of respect the applicants that we have and let's try to process them. And, you know, I may change my mind on the 11th, you know, when we see what we get. But I guess I'm inclined to just go with the current slew.
And the only reason I bring that up is making note of when I spoke with Don Moore, and I guess actually Lamar kind of confirmed this because he's been involved with hiring processes, that sometimes the second time around you get a different type of applicant. If you open it the second time, you end up with people that maybe didn't jump on it the first time, that have let it roll around a little bit, and they come up with you might come up with a different type of applicant, or somebody that was out there that didn't apply the first time. So I don't think we're too far behind. I don't necessarily think we have to have a 2 week window. I don't think we have to do it, but I also didn't see a standout candidate in these first round that makes me say we got the person, and I don't think it would hurt anything to open it up again. So that's the reason I'm throwing it out there.
Madam Mayor.
Councilor Best.
I concur with Councilman Carrington. I feel we kind of, these are the candidates that we've chosen. We'll go ahead and continue on with the process. If after the interviews happen, we as a body decide that we want to cut them loose and re-advertise and reopen it again, I think that's our prerogative at that point. But we do owe it to these individuals to go ahead and review them as they sit right now.
All right, thank you, Councilmember Best. Anyone else? All right, Madam Clerk, please call the roll for roll call.
Councilmember Best?
No.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hansen?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
No.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion fails.
Is that?
Motion fails.
Next item is new business, a motion to adopt. Do we have a motion to adopt resolution number 15-014, authorizing the city manager to apply for a Federal Aviation Administration Airport Improvement Program fund to grant to fund the federal share of the aeronautical survey of the Palmer Municipal Airport. As noted in item 15-043, the motion to adopt.
So move, Your Honor.
Made and seconded. Discussion or request for staff report? Madam Clerk, please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember DeVries?
Yes.
Councilmember Hanson?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next is the City Clerk's presentation of certified initiative petition as required by the Palm Municipal Code 18.07.045A.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have on the screen, but also in your packet, the petition. I certified the petition regarding marijuana, shortened version, marijuana businesses. And at this time, the code requires that I bring before you at the next regular meeting the petition as I certified it. And it also gives you an opportunity in Palmer Municipal Code 18.07.045E to essentially adopt the exact same language. If that is not done, then it automatically moves to the back.
I didn't hear that.
Okay. In Palmer Municipal Code, it gives you the council the opportunity to essentially adopt the exact same language. If the council does not take action to do so, the initiative automatically moves to the October ballot. And as I did put in, it will appear substantially like this on the ballot, the ballot question. It is not in final format, and of course it won't be until it goes to the ballot, but this is essentially the question that will be before the voters if the council does not take action to adopt the exact same language.
What is our date for that? Right now.
This is it. You cannot adopt it tonight, of course, because it has to go through a public process, but you would make a motion if you want to start that process.
Madam Mayor.
Councilmember Best.
This is a question for the clerk. If council brings it before us and we make any modification to it, then does it still go to the voters?
Yes, because the code language reads, and I can bring it up, but the code language reads that it is, you're adopting the same language.
Okay, thank you.
Would anyone like to make a motion to adopt the same ordinance here at the table tonight?
I'll go ahead and move that.
All right, do we have a second? I'll second it. Madam Clerk, would you call, if we have a discussion, Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
We can have discussion, right?
Certainly.
I don't think the ordinance should be adopted as it stands. I think there's some amendments that should be made, and so I'd like to have this go to the voters because this is a very, very hot topic, but I think hearing from the voters would be good.
Right. I'm a little unclear. Did he want to make some amendments to it?
But my understanding is we can't make amendments to this and have it not go on the ballot. It
Correct.
Must be adopted as written. Further discussion? Councilmember Carrington.
I guess I'm just wondering what the process is. Does this get voted on before then it would go to a public hearing for the council to vote on it? After a public hearing, right?
Correct. It would follow the same ordinance process because it has to be advertised, introduced, and everything.
So you would have all the public, Madam Mayor?
Councilmember Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I apologize for interrupting there. So you would have all the public process but council would be removed from being able to make any modifications to it. And that's why I feel that it's actually kind of almost disingenuous of us to bring it before us, where then we as individuals can't offer amendments.
I would just, I guess, I'm not going to vote in favor of the council adopting an ordinance. I think we just need to offer the petition process and let it go before the voters.
Any further discussion? All right, Madam Clerk, please call the vote. Please call the roll for a roll call vote.
Councilmember Best?
No.
Councilmember DeVries?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Deputy Mayor Carrington?
No.
Mayor Johnson?
Yes.
Motion fails.
If you're running your table saw.
No, the housekeeping is walking around here vacuuming on the outside of the wall.
All right. Madam Clerk, record of items placed on the table.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
This brings us to our final opportunity for audience participation time for anyone that would like to come forward to address the council. 3 minutes or 5 minutes if you're representing a group. Audience participation is now open. Please sign in, turn on the microphone, state your name for the record.
My name is Eugene Carl Haberman. I represent myself. I follow the public process. The public process done appropriately, the decision made by the governing body is more like in the public interest. First, I'd like to comment the chair of the meeting, the mayor, and how they handled the issue of closing public hearing and checking first whether they want to be a continuation of the public hearing. Unless I read that wrong, I believe that was done tonight, and I thank the mayor for sharing it appropriately. And then show you how it's not done appropriately. Last night's meeting, the city was still a council meeting. One of the ordinances for public hearing was dealing with sales tax. They had public comment. Then there was a break. Then the meeting was reopened. The words of the mayor at 7:11 p.m. approximately said these words to begin. Last call for public comment, sound of gavel, and then words, who's the first to speak, referring to the council. There is no continuation of public hearing. This is not the way to go. But does it get any worse? It does get worse. There were a lot of amendments before the body, and at one point, council member Colleen Sullivan Leonard had a sheet of amendments, and she was guided by members of the council to go over the last one first, and it was understood that she would have an opportunity to have all those amendments. But instead, they voted on one and maybe two, but then there was a call to stop all the debate and go for a vote. Clearly, it was not greeted well. It was clear that it wasn't appropriate, and there was a contract basically made in public by members of the council to allow her to have all of those there. And the end result is they did whatever they wanted to do. And this is I also look at not just how the public is connected with the governing body before decisions made, how the governing body is handling among themselves on issues. And the item, by the way, was dealing with the sales tax. And it passed, by the way, and it will go on. It was going for a ballot, so this is not the way to go. And also, I want to stress this: most important decisions before a governing body is, number one, the certification of an election, and then the budget. And obviously, the sales tax is a budget item, money, finances. And as you know before, I request that there'll be two public hearings. City of Wasilla Council meetings is known to do their annual budget as one public hearing. I thank this body for having a policy that you have two public hearings when you handle your budget. And but the City of Wasilla does not do that. They also handled my time is getting close, but I just want to say is you handle your meetings more appropriately than the City of Wasilla, especially what happened last night, and I thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Anyone else would like to come forward and compliment the council? Well, seeing no one else come forward. Seeing no one additional come forward, meeting audience participation is closed. That brings us to council member comments, starting with council member DeVries. Well, actually, just a second. I'll start with council member Best so I don't lose him or get him. Council member Best.
I'm good. Thanks. See you guys in a few days.
All right. Thank you very much, council member Best. Councilmember DeVries.
Thank you, Your Honor. I know Councilwoman Combs is not here this evening, but I just publicly wanted to thank her with all the stuff going on in her life, that good job she did on Palmer Pride. I know that was really hard, and also congratulations to the Mat-Su Miners, and especially for being able to bring those games next week into Palmer, because that'll be some additional economic development there, and so... hooray for the miners.
All right, thank you.
My only comment is I'd like to echo what Councilman DeVries talked about. Ms. Cole, she was a hard-working soul at Palmer Pride. She did a wonderful job.
And, of course, go ahead, Councilman Carrington.
Yes, I think Linda did an excellent job, and I'd also like to comment that it was great that Ken and I were the ones putting the chairs away after it was all over. Just the two of us.
And I would also like to echo Councilmember Combs did a standout job, and all the council members that were there to do the hamburgers and hot dogs. I appreciate having you there. So, with executive session before us, we'll take a break and take a break and prepare the chambers. Thank you.